Hey guys, what's up, and welcome back to another episode of Homebrewed Evil. Today's case is absolutely insane. I don't know where to start. I heard about this a while ago, and honestly, it's been stuck in my head ever since. It left me feeling so uneasy and just straight up terrified. You've probably heard about Gisèle Pelicot. She is a 72-year-old French woman who was drugged and raped over 9 years by her husband and 72 other men. Now that case shook the world. And maybe you've also heard of the Nth Room case. This happened in South Korea. Again, absolutely horrifying. It was a blackmail, cyber sex trafficking scandal where explicit videos were shared through Telegram, really recent, around 2018 to 2020. So when I first heard about these cases, I was like, whoa, this is terrifying. Jaw dropped, my stomach dropped. But at the same time, I felt, okay, you know what? This is so far away. Something like this would never happen in Singapore. And was I wrong? Because what if I told you that something just as horrifying happened right here in Singapore? Today, we're diving into the dark side of the Sammy Boy Forum. Now, this is an infamous online platform, and it's tied to a case, today's case that we're talking about, where seven men drugged and raped their wives. Everything shared in this episode is based on publicly available information from credible news sources in Singapore and official court documents. The details discussed are not meant to sensationalize the events, but to shed light on the case. Listener discretion is advised as some content discussed today may be disturbing. So before we dive into the case, let's talk about the forum that connected these seven vile men, a platform that ultimately led their wives to be drugged and raped. Now, I've been in Singapore my whole life, like born and raised. I've never heard of this platform, Sammy Boy, until this case. So Sammy Boy dates back to 1997 and was found by a Singaporean man allegedly named Samuel Leong. Originally, it started as a platform to share recommendations for massage establishments and brothels in Singapore, but over time it evolved into a forum primarily used to exchange information about commercial sex, but pretty much any discussion of sexual nature were allowed. So according to Mr. Leong, he claimed that he would delete posts that revealed personal information about private individuals if he came across them. But other than that, the forum didn't have any formal vetting or moderation processes. So fast forward to today, Sammy Boy has two main parts: the landing page, which is called Sam's Al Fresco Coffee Shop, and this caters to non-sexual content, and the threads cover anywhere from religion to immigration. And the sex forum, now this is a whole different story. It's much more explicit with threads like pictures of our sexual escapades, or there's one that says upskirting my employer. Like, what the heck, guys? So, while some of the materials seem legal on the surface, many of these posts are voyeuristic upskirt images which are clearly non-consensual. So, for instance, like I share one of the thread titled Upskirting My Employer, and there's another one that says Come Share Your Wife Pic. So members of this forum, they call it SPF for short, and they can even pay a monthly premium subscription membership, and this costs around $23.80 Singapore dollars. And this allows the members to post with no moderation at all, and they get some like points to boost their, posts. And from right now, the sex forum has over 180,000 members, and the non-sexual semi-boy al fresco coffee shop has only 50,000 users. In a CNA interview, a semi-boy user described this forum as one step higher than conventional porn sites. He keeps coming back for more, and he admits that he began logging in every day, multiple times a day, and he says, "I guess you could say I was addicted to it." When asked if he felt any guilt about the potentially unwitting victims featured in the obscene content, he responded that even if he didn't look at it, others would, adding, "I know it's wrong, but what can they do to me?" On the forum, a 41-year-old married man planted a pinhole camera in his home to secretly record his wife, sister-in-law, fellow church members, mentor, and family friends showering. He then used screenshots of those footage to create sexual fantasy stories that he posted on Sammy Boy. Now, he is a frequent user of the forum, and he admitted to often posting comments because it makes him feel accepted, quote unquote, accepted by the community. His crimes came to light when a friend of one of the victims discovered her photo on Sammy Boy and alerted her. So the man was eventually arrested, jailed, and fined in 2020. It's not even like this happened back in, like, the 2000s. Like, this is just 2020, just 4, 5 years ago. Another user shared that he first discovered Semi Boy through a newspaper article. Curious, he decided to Google it and explore the forum. And as he put it, quote unquote, "there was no turning back." He admitted to using the site primarily to read reviews of sexual services from high-class foreign escorts before engaging in them himself. So, just a little note, prostitution isn't exactly illegal in Singapore. It is just highly regulated. Activities like soliciting in public or running a brothel without proper authorization are prohibited, but the act of engaging in consensual sex work itself is not against the law. It's just highly, highly, highly regulated here. So this is just so insane and honestly terrifying to think that a website like this exists right here in Singapore. And it is even more unsettling to realize that we're living among people who actively use it. So the men involved in today's case are not named due to court-imposed gag order to protect the identities of the victims. So from now on, I will create and use fake surnames for ease of understanding. I don't know if it's my dyslexia or whatever, but a lot of the articles use JKLMNO, but something about that is just so confusing. So for example, for J, we're gonna call him Jing, as in Jing, and so on. So let's get into it, guys. Ding had always desired to engage in threesomes with his wife. To test if she might be open to the idea, he showed her pornographic videos featuring threesomes. However, she scolded him, told him that he was crazy, and immediately shut that idea down. Knowing that she was strongly against the idea, he allegedly devised a plan to have other men sexually involve with her. In 2010, while perusing Sammy Boy, he chanced upon a thread started by a man named Ong. The thread was inviting men with wife fantasies to connect for more discreet conversations. It wasn't long before Ting reached out and the two began chatting on Skype. Ting asked Ong to approach his wife to see if she was faithful or if an affair might develop. Ong concealed his identity as Brad Chan, he agreed, and started talking to Ting's wife. Now, after a month of conversation, Ong and Ting's wife met for dinner at Punggol Park, and they had dinner, they had a date, and then they continued talking. And then, a few weeks later, they had their second meeting. It was a lunch at East Coast Park, and this led to a consensual sexual encounter at a nearby resort hotel. However, Ong didn't tell Ding about their encounter and continued their affair. Eventually, Ding's wife cut off contact with Ong because he kept repeatedly pushing for a threesome involving her husband. Sometime later, Ding texted Ong claiming that, "Hey, my wife's been drugged, come over." And when Ong arrived, he found Ding's wife blindfolded, unconscious, and under Ting's watch, Ong proceeded to rape her. Shockingly, this heinous act took place on Ting and his wife's wedding anniversary on their marital bed. As Ting watched his unconscious and blindfolded wife being raped by Ong, he later admitted feeling a mix of anger, thrill, and guilt. This situation gives off cuckold kink energy. So, a cuckold is typically a man in a relationship who derives intense sexual gratification from either watching or knowing that his partner is having sex with others. It's an adrenaline rush, it excites them, and the taboo nature of the fantasy combined with the surge of endorphins. So this creates a form of psychological masochism. The cuck, quote unquote cuck experience is a complex mix of emotion that Ting described to be feeling, which is jealousy, gratitude, shame, arousal, inadequacy, as well as lust. There is no kink shaming here as long as everything is safe and consensual. But this case, this is not safe. This is not consensual. This is not a kink. This is straight up rape. Between 2010 and 2018, for 8 years, Ting repeatedly drugged his wife with sedatives and invited five other men on separate occasions to rape her. After researching, he obtained a drug called Dormicum, which is a powerful sleeping pill, which he would dissolve into his wife's wine during dinner. Once she fell asleep, he would text a group chat summoning the men to come over and assault her. During the assault, Ding would take pictures, videos to share with others. He even installed a CCTV in his bedroom to live stream the assault, allowing the men to watch and comment on the performance. And after watching the video, the men would commend each other for putting on a quote unquote nice show. Kim, one of the men that Ding met on Sammy Boy, he was a business development manager and was married with no children. He repeatedly raped Ting's wife and even drugged his own wife so Ting could assault her. In court, conversations between two men were revealed in the chat, including Kim saying, "My wife is always yours," and asking Ting if he could impregnate her. The two men even planned to impregnate each other's wives. Like Ting, Kim had also installed a webcam in his bedroom to live stream the rape of his wife. During Kim's trial, explicit photos he had taken of his wife in public places were found and traced back to being published online by him. Following his arrest, Kim was examined at the IMH, Institute of Mental Health, and diagnosed with voyeuristic disorder. Ting has four children with his wife, four daughters. And all of this rape took place while his four daughters and helper were asleep in another room in the same house. It's just insane to think that he carried out all of these acts with his family, four daughters, under the same roof. Now, across all of the articles that I read for this case, the headlines always read wife sharing. So, according to Google, wife sharing refers to a situation where a woman's husband willingly shares her sexually with other men or enjoys watching her engage in sexual actions with others, with the wife being a willing participant who herself finds satisfaction in pleasing her husband this way. However, this case is absolutely not a case of wife sharing, because Singh's wife was neither conscious nor aware nor consenting of this arrangement. So once again, this is quite simply a case of rape. Singh connected with two other men, Lim and Po, on Semi Boy, and they began discussing wife sharing. The three men took turns drugging and raping each other's wives. On one occasion, when Po was about to assault Lim's wife, she woke up and realized what was happening. Confronting them, she managed to get both men to write confession letters. Ma, another man Singh met on the forum, was a married man living with his ex-wife and their three children and his mother-in-law. So he's married, but I think it's a very messy living situation because he's still living with his ex-wife. On the day that he was scheduled to assault Singh's wife, she wasn't feeling well and refused to drink wine over dinner. So instead of spiking the wine, Ma gave her the drug, pretending that it was medicine for her sickness. Trusting her husband, a man who had vowed to be there for her in sickness and in health, she took the pill. Once she passed out, Singh called Ma over to rape her. So as I mentioned earlier, Ma's living situation is a little bit messy. So Singh invited him, Ma, and Ma's ex-wife to come over to his house under the pretense that it was a work meeting. Now this happened while Singh's wife was away, not in the country. So when they arrived at Singh's house, Singh spiked Ma's ex-wife's drink and then proceeded to rape her in the bed that he and Singh's wife share, their marital bed. So now this is six men, right? The seventh man, Ng, he connected with Singh through the Semi Boy forum as well, just like all of the other six men. He was a single man and he would often meet Singh at coffee shops to discuss their shared perverse sexual fantasy of wife sharing. So Singh would drug his wife to facilitate Ng's rape, and I think it happened twice in the span of 2 years. So how this all unfolded was one day when Singh was asleep, his wife was using his phone and stumbled upon naked images of herself unconscious and blindfolded in a group chat. As she scrolled down and read through the conversation, she realized it was a discussion between Singh and others about exchanging wives for sex. Shocked and obviously enraged, she slapped him awake and confronted him. She forced him to take her to Kim's house, where Kim confessed to the act. Singh's wife then went to the police, and you know, the police were able to seize all photos, all videos, and eventually the identification of all the other men involved. Singh was sentenced to 29 years of jail and a maximum of 24 strokes of cane. The other men in the larger network received jail time ranging from 3 to 22 years, depending on their involvement, and some of them also received caning. For those that are above the age of, 50, did not get caning, because there's a rule that you can't get caning after a certain age. The deputy public prosecutor in this case stated that the facts were unprecedented, involving a gross betrayal of trust by husbands conspiring with other men against their partners. He shared that, quote unquote, when a woman enters into a marriage, she entrusts herself to her husband. She trusts that the man she's sleeping beside will not harm her while she sleeps, that in sickness The father of her children will not poison her with drugs disguised as medicine, and that the husband will protect the privacy of their most intimate moments together. During trial, while pleading guilty, Ding claimed that his main concern right now was the safety of his children and wife, and he even requested a legal assessment to diagnose what was happening with him, what was really quote-unquote going on in his mind. And this irony is almost laughable because his wife and children were clearly the last thing, or their safety were clearly the last thing on his mind when he was inviting strangers into their home to rape and assault his wife. His mother wrote a letter to the court requesting leniency for her filial son, in her words. Meanwhile, on the other hand, his wife delivered a victim impact statement saying, "I kept thinking about how cruel he was to do this to me." And as for the Sammy Boy Forum, it poses challenges for enforcement due to the service being based overseas. The Singapore Police Force investigates criminal activities linked to such sites, and offenders may be prosecuted. However, blocking the forum is difficult as administrators often change URLs and use servers in countries like Canada and US to evade such restrictions. And experts highlight that banning these sites is like playing whack-a-mole or cat and mouse due to advancements in technology, and especially with tools like VPNs. So the IMDA, Infocom Media Development Authority, maintains a list of banned sites, mainly to prevent accidental access by children, and users often, you know, bypass these restrictions anyways. So some regulations that are suggested, other than just outright banning, is, you know, to block and remove just obscene content. And, you know, even with this, it often resurfaces on other platforms, and it's really nearly impossible to eliminate completely. Yep. So after this case of the wife being drugged and raped hit the news, one of Sammy Boy Forum's users shared that he actually stopped using the site for a while, but this only lasted 2 weeks. He confessed that the allure of the website was just too strong to resist, and he also shared that he thinks the only time he will ever stop visiting the site is when he dies, which, just wow, I just speechless. Oh my god. Anyways, this is just absolutely shocking. And you know, as I've shared earlier, born and raised here, lived here my whole entire life, never had any idea that this forum existed until I read about this case. And you know, my god, 180,000 people using it, living among us, is just insane. My heart goes out to the women who were violated in this case, and to the children who have to face, you know, the devastating truth about what monsters their fathers are. When I listen to true crime stories, I always think, okay, this is so scary, and now if this ever happens to me, I know what to look out for. I know that these are the signs. I know what to do, right? But in this case, what could Ting's wife have done? I honestly can't think of anything, because she's completely unaware, you know, and this is her husband. Like, this is the man that she trusted her life with, and he just completely defiled it. There is no, like, obvious ways to catch, like, the red flag. So, really, she's just in the dark until it was too late. And, you know, it highlights just how hard it is to spot such abuse. Especially by someone you trust. But she's incredibly brave for confronting him, and I truly hope that she and the other victims and their families find strength and support to heal from this. But yeah, that's it for today, guys. Did you guys know about this forum before this case? Please let me know, because I just shocked, never knew. I feel really uneasy. This case has been on my mind for like the last few years, and just knowing that this forum exists is like forever in the back of my mind. So please stay safe out there. Okay? Stay safe, y'all, please. Bye.